Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for your big book study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's Friday, March 14th, 2025, and today we're reading from the big book, Into Action, page 84, and we're going down six sentences. That six sentences, our whole attitude and outlook upon life, ending with fear of economic, the fear of people in economic insecurity will leave us. And we're reading that and sharing on that, those two paragraphs. All right, our readers today. For the 12 steps, we have Tenzin P. For the traditions, Jen P. Reading the text is Hanietta R. Page 164 is Katie G. Backup reader is Lynn F. Newcomer greeters, Levon P. Second hour host is Roz G. And our announcements, Kathy S. is going to take care of them. Our reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, March 13th, right? So 13th is before 14th. Thursday, March 13th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,249. That's 22,249. From 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 22,250. 22,250. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions. So I've asked Tenzin P. to share the 12 steps today.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Tuning in from New York. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tenzin. Next up is Jen P. with the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Russ. Good morning, everyone. This is Jen P., grateful, recovering compulsive overeater from New Jersey. The 12 traditions. Tradition one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Tradition 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our Tradition 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Tradition 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Tradition 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Tradition 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Tradition 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Tradition 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Tradition 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Tradition 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Tradition 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media or communication. And Tradition 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
All right, Tenzin and Jen, thank you very much for taking care of that. How our meeting works. Focus on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature or a couple sentences, and then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 on mute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today, we're back on page 84, into action, 6 sentences down. And it's the 2 sentences are, our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. And we're sharing just on those, reading and sharing on those 2 sentences. And Hanieth is going to take care of that today. She's going to start us off.
Thank you so much, Russ, for your service. This is Hanieth R. from Texas, Plano, Texas. And I am a grateful compulsive overeater, and I am recovering today. I want to say happy Purim to anybody who celebrates. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of our economic insecurity will leave us. 2 very powerful statements. I came into OA in July of 1981, and sometime in summer of 1982, I had already gone through all the steps. I was a sponsor, and I had already lost, 100 pounds. And I remember being in a circle at a retreat. We were all holding hands, and all of a sudden, this wave came over me, and I felt a total change in how I felt about standing there, being there, being with people. I looked around the room, and I thought, wow, my attitude and outlook has changed. It was like an amazing event for me. And, you know, my attitude and outlook has changed so much through the years that I've been here. And it's something that miraculously changes all the time. And 95% of the time, it's far the better. And fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. I don't think I ever had a fear of people. That was just not one of the things that bothered me. But, oh, I feared economic insecurity because I was always economically broke. And what I found out is that this does not say that I will not have economic insecurity. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say you are not going to have economic insecurity. It says that the fear of economic insecurity will leave us. And I don't fear economic insecurity anymore. I am totally, well, that's not true. This is something that just happened, that I don't think we're going to be economically insecure anymore with the new Fairness Act that just came out has benefited me. And I think that's going to be. But what I love is I don't have to fear it. I know that God is going to take care of me. Thank you. I'm just going to end with this. God is going to take care of my finances, not me. And he does a really good job. And I'm very excited about that. Don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. I love you newcomers. Thanks, Russ, for letting me share.
You got it. All right, we're going to open up the line for Sharon, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you share Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and allow others to share. I need your first name, first initial of your last name, and where you're calling in from. Who's up?
Christina J.
Katie G. from Boston. Katie G.
This is from Oregon.
Hold on. So this is what I got. I got Christina J., Katie G.,
Amy M.C. from Massachusetts. Oops, sorry.
North Carolina.
Okay. All right, one second. Christina J., Katie G.
Liz S.
Liz S. from Oregon. That's who it was. All right. Then there was someone from North Carolina.
M.
All right, there you go. And I'm sure there's about 12 other people. So who else?
Priscilla.
Amy M.C.
Okay.
Shanna C.
Priscilla. Amy M.C. Shanna. Who else?
Lisa B.T.
Lisa. Okay. Who else? I thought I heard Melissa C. I thought I did. I don't know. May have heard her. But that was way early on. All right. Let's go with this.
Lady. Yeah. Thanks, Russ. Melissa. Thanks.
All right, I'll put you in.
Thanks.
Yep. So we got this pretty good list. Christina J., Katie G., Liz S., Ann M., Priscilla H., Amy M.C., Shanna C., and Melissa C. All right, Christina, you're up.
Good morning, Russ. Morning, everyone. I like how this paragraph starts. If we're painstaking about this phase of our development, this is like the ninth step stuff, right? And all these promises, when we begin to clean house through 4 through 9, we humble ourselves, our whole attitude and outlook begins to change. For me, you know, over the years I've been in program, this has happened. I have a new attitude and outlook, but I have to keep spiritually active. I was in another meeting this morning that was really talking about that because life was not easy for the two friends. It says on 156, plenty of difficulties presented themselves. Both saw they must keep spiritually active. It's the only way I can keep this. I have to watch when things come up, be aware, and then I get these promises, you know, as I do this work. Economic insecurity. Last night, my boss is a spender, and he's taken the company down to the wire now. And, you know, I've been just trusting God and moving ahead, but I've also had fears like many other people about money. I woke up in a cold sweat at 1 in the morning thinking about him and the company and what's going to happen and blah, blah, blah. And then I got up and checked my phone. Mistake. And there was a fellow in program who doesn't want to be in program. She hasn't wanted to be in program for a while. And every so often I, you know, send her a little loving text. And she just kind of flat out said, I don't want to be your friend anymore. And so I began to lay in bed and take that personally. Fear of the people, fear of what I did wrong, fear of something I didn't do anything wrong. So I just began to pray and surrender. And within 5 minutes, I was asleep. But what does this take? This takes karma in the spiritual bank. You know, why do I have to do this every day so that I can build that beautiful program karma in my soul of being of service, of cleaning my house every day? Because it's not just, as many people have said in the past, not just being spiritual. I was spiritual for years. I am a spiritual being, but I have to do spiritual. And this book teaches me how to do spiritual. And the bottom line to doing spiritual is keeping spiritually active by being of service to others and also to myself. You know, looking at the house, is it building up dust in this corner of fear? Is it building up dust in this corner of needing validation? Is it building up dust in this corner of being selfish? You know, I could go on and on. So we can have these promises if we keep doing the work. And we're going to be moving into step 10, which is and 11, which is the things that help us really look for that dust buildup. And what's the hint that we're getting built up? Irritable, restless, discontent. Something's going on. I don't feel right. I'm off the beam. I must have something going on. I don't know what it is. I'll just sit with it. No. I got to call somebody and go, yeah, I got something going on. I don't know what it is. And they can help me find out what it is. But I can't sit with my shit. Otherwise, I'm going to fall back into fear of people, fear of not being good enough, fear of money. You know, all these things can leave me and stay gone if I work it. Because fear, I'm sorry, it will leave me, but it's going to come up again tomorrow. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thanks, Christina. Next up is Katie G, followed by Liz S.
Hey, Russ. Thanks for taking the meeting. Katie G, recovered in Boston. Can you hear me okay?
Gotcha.
All right, I'm going to assume you can. Cool. Sorry about that. So I heard this recovered guy say that attitude means my whole angle of approach. And I kind of wanted to look at that more. So an attitude is something that an airplane takes. Right. It's my orientation in relation to the earth. And I love that idea. Right. Like my attitude. How am I living my life today? What is my orientation in relation to God's kids? And the thing is, like, it's not rainbows and ponies. This isn't me hallmarking life and saying, you know, the promises have come true and everything. And I'm riding off into the sunset and, you know, my mom's not sick and my kids are excellent and my marriage is perfect. But what's my angle of approach? So the last 36 hours have been really intense in my emotional sobriety. But I have a solution today, right? When I wake up, when my eyes open, I don't say, oh, poop, today is the day, right? I wake up and I say, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. I think about my 24 hours ahead, and I know that there is a solution. I had 3 big issues yesterday that I was fighting for my life on. But thanks be to God, like my attitude was, I am the problem, and God is the solution. And so my attitude, my orientation to the earth is, I am the problem, God is the solution. I have ceased fighting anything or anyone. And it's something that needs to be cultivated with people, with myself every day. The other thing is, I'm going to be straight up. I'm still afraid of people. I absolutely am. My heart pounds when I share on this meeting. It always has. But the thing is, the fear of people doesn't drive me anymore. And when I'm in connection with God, I'm okay, right? So for me as a little girl, I have this feeling that there's not enough, and I stuffed and stuffed and stuffed. And when I started to starve, that shifted into me not being enough. And when I'm not enough, then all of you, anything you do is evidence that I'm wrong, that I'm bad, that I'm a failure. These are the fears that drive me. And when I'm without God, I am driven by fear. Fear drives me around all day, and everything that happens is evidence that I'm wrong. But thanks be to God today, you know, as a recovered woman, I know the solution, right? Like when I'm feeling that knot in my belly, I know that I can do a fear turnaround. I know that I can pray, and I know that I can help others. You know, so many people talked about this yesterday. St. Francis of Assisi, man, is that the solution to my problems. Make me an instrument of your peace where there's hatred. Let me sow love where there's injury. Pardon. Help me seek to understand rather than be understood, to love rather than be loved. And I have 9 seconds left, and I agree that fear of the economic insecurity leaves me, because for today, I have a roof over my head, food in the fridge, clothes on my back, money in the bank. Thanks be to God. So grateful to be here with all of you and continue charging.
Thanks, Katie. Appreciate it. Next up is Liz S., I believe, and followed by Ann M.
Good morning, Russ. Thank you for your service. This is Liz S., a recovered compulsive eater in Portland, Oregon. I love these two sentences. You know, I think that even if I didn't have program, my whole attitude and outlook upon life might change from something that would happen, you know, something large in my life, perhaps the death of a family member. But where I might go with that would be very different from where I might go with it, or where I do go with it, with program as a solution, as a method. I love looking at the big book as a set of directions and as a method of managing life and handling life and letting God do what I can't do alone. So that's what I wanted to say about that. Fear of people and of economic security will leave us. When I'm afraid of something, generally, I freeze up, or I put it away. I procrastinate. I don't want to look at it. If I can accept it, you remember acceptance is the answer? Well, acceptance of my fear of people, acceptance of my fear of taking care of my money. You know, there's sometimes I wake up and I just don't want to do the adulting thing. I just want to be a kid. I just don't want to be responsible. But if I can embrace my fear, if I can embrace that feeling that I had about not wanting to do it, then all of a sudden I'm enabled to, in a good way, I'm enabled to do something constructive with God's inspiration. I know I need to, you know, set all my financial papers out on my dining room table and go through them and see where we need to, you know, what needs to be done, basically. In terms of fear of people, I still have a fear of that. I do. I guess I'm still too self-seeking about what they're going to think of me. But I find that if I go to a party, which is just not wonderful anymore for me, but if I go to a party or I have a gathering at my home and I look people in the eye and I really try to concentrate on what can I do for you, it helps. It makes me so that I'm interested in that person.
Sorry.
I'm not so interested. Thank you, Russ. And that's all I have to share for today. Thank you all. Bless you all. Have a great day. Bye.
Thanks, Lynn. Liz, sorry, Liz. Next up is A&M, followed by Priscilla H.
Thank you, Russ. Thanks, everybody on the meeting. I learned so much from all of you. This is Ann M. I'm in North Carolina, grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. And while singleness of purpose has us identify only as compulsive overeaters, I'm also a member of other fellowships. But which means that these sentences are especially important to me. And so I wanted to speak today. Fear of, I mean, my whole outlook, my whole attitude and outlook has changed. I had a big relapse several years ago, and when I, and what helped me come back from that relapse was working the steps in a very structured manner through the big book and using the big book as a textbook with a big book step study sponsor. And as a result of working the steps, I have had a spiritual experience. As it says in step 12, having had a spiritual experience as the result of working these steps. And that's wonderful. Excuse me. And so my whole outlook and attitude has changed. And I realized that prior to my relapse, I had not fully gotten there. I hadn't achieved that spiritual experience, hadn't finished working steps 9, actually several of the latter steps, which means that I hadn't gotten to these promises. And I'm also realizing that a lot of my fears have left as well. And it's my fears have left while not necessarily the actual situation. You know, I still do a lot of having difficulty finding whether I've got enough money to last the end of the month, but the fear has left. Because I do trust in God that I'm going to manage, that somehow I can do, I can talk to my creditors, I can talk to the people that who owe me money, and I can talk to people in adult ways and manage the money issues that I have. And the fears have left, and that has been such a big deal. Thank you. The whole attitude has made
Russ, could you just let us know what page we're on?
What?
Can you let us know what?
Okay.
So
she's finishing up.
Yes, I am. I'm trying to stop. Anyway, thank you, everybody. I pass.
All right, thanks. If we could, I tried to let everybody know by the middle of the meeting, so just if we just refrain from interrupting, that would be cool. All right, so I'm doing it anyway. But we're on page 84 into action, and we're down on the sixth. We're sharing on the sixth and seventh sentences. That's it. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. So that's where we're at. And next up is Priscilla H.
Thank you so much. Priscilla H., grateful to be recovering, physically recovered and otherwise recovering in New Jersey. And the words that jump out today at me are fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. Whenever I used to hear the promises read, I would think, okay, when? When is that going to happen? It seemed to me like most of the other promises were at least starting to come true a little bit for me, but those two fears, not even a little bit. All my life I had been vague about money. If I had it, I spent it. If I didn't have it, I did without. At one point, I slept under my coat because I couldn't afford to buy a blanket. And even when I was making what felt like good money, I never knew how much money I had. And then two events brought me face to face with the issue of finances. The first was that my sister had a stroke that left her with global aphasia, causing me to become her court-appointed guardian, which is a very expensive undertaking. And then not too long after that, a car crash brought my employment to an end at age 76. Suddenly, I had minimal income, just a little bit of Social Security coming in. And that's when I remembered about somebody describing a 12-step program to help people deal exactly with financial insecurity. That person, whoever it was, they described it in a meeting of yet another 12-step program I was in. And some people might say they shouldn't have done that, but thanks be to higher power that they did, because the program they described followed the same 12 steps and 12 traditions that we do and promoted all the same tools that we promote, but they also described some unique additional tools. I was a drowning woman, and I reached out for that program, and I grabbed onto it. And because of that other 12-step program, I am solvent today. I wouldn't say that I'm well-to-do, but I'm solvent. And I'm not going to say any more about that other 12-step program, but if anybody wants to know more, call me or text my 904 number. That's my cell phone number. I'm Priscilla H. in New Jersey, and with that, I'll sign off and say thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Priscilla. Appreciate it. Next up is Amy M.C., followed by Shanna C.
Good morning, everyone. This is Amy M.C. calling from Massachusetts, recovered compulsive overeater. And what I have to share is, you know, the fears, doubts, and insecurities are what drove me to the food. You know, I was afraid of something. I was uncomfortable. I was doubtful of myself. I wanted to impress other people. So I ate. It brought me comfort. I thought it brought me comfort. But what I continue to realize each and every day is that only brought me pain. And what brings me comfort is giving God my fear. And the promise coming true is that when I do surrender, when I do attempt steps, when I do a fourth step and share it in a fifth, those fears, they dissipate. It happens quickly. It happens slowly. It happens in God's time, not Amy's. And that's always the hardest part for me, you know. I don't know. I continue to offer these fears to God. As soon as I let go, God's really working them, and I forget about them. You know, it's been my experience in this program that when I push and shove, you know, it doesn't happen because it's not my time. But when I truly let go, all of a sudden, I'm not thinking about it. I'm not in fear. I'm not in doubt. I'm not feeling insecure. I've really surrendered it to God. And then it's just gone. I'm not thinking about it anymore, right? And what happens is the miracle is God does something with that fear, doubt, or insecurity. And it's removed. And I don't even notice because I'm not obsessing about it, whether it be the food or, you know, life on life's terms. But the miracle really is to be able to see in the future. Like, oh my gosh, I stopped worrying about that. And look, this is the solution. God gave me the solution. I mean, I have so much experience in this area. It happened for me first with the food. Then it happened at work. It happened with relationships. It happened with having children. It happened with now getting a divorce, having brain surgery. It continues to happen when I let go and I say, God, you take this. You take it. I do my part. I don't ignore. I don't live in the fear, doubt, and insecurity. And when I do that 10th step. I do it 100 times. I do it. I write about it. I give it to God until it's gone. And once awesome. It's gone, thank you. I heard that. I'm able to be happy, joyous, and free. And freedom is the answer. And so with that, I pass.
Thanks, Amy. Next up is Shanna C., followed by Lisa B.T. Star one, Shanna. We're not hearing you, Shanna. All right. So let's. Why don't we go to Lisa BT and then we'll come back to Shanna.
Good morning. This is Shanna C. Can you hear me?
Okay. We'll go right to Shanna then. Go ahead.
I'm so sorry about that. I don't know what was going on. All right, this is Shanna C., Grateful Recovered Compulsive Overeater from Tennessee. Thanks, Russ, and thanks, everyone, for your patience during my technical difficulties here. So what keeps coming to my mind is just how, oh, my God, like fear of people. All right, first of all, self-reliance failed me. We talked about that, you know, when we're in the middle of step four, you know, and where is self failing me. Well, if I could have relied on myself to stop compulsively overeating, then I would have done that. But that's just a symbol of what was really going on inside. And, you know, and there's billions of people on this planet that, you know, that have all kinds of issues and all kinds of fears and all kinds of spiritual whatever. But what separates me from, you know, the rest of the human race is the fact that I have an allergy to certain ingredients in foods that when I eat them, I can't stop once I start. And so when I first got into OA, really, all I wanted to do was stop going to bed bloated and miserable and wanting to kill myself because of the amount of food I ate and hating myself for not being able to control it. I couldn't see any other way out. So self-reliance failed me. And so my fears came from the fact that all these promises that we're talking about my whole life on myself to try to make these things happen. You know, I relied on myself to change my attitude. You know, just be nicer. Well, if I could just be nicer, you know, all the time, I would. If I could not be afraid of people, I would. If I could not worry about money, I would. If I could intuitively handle situations which baffled me, I would. The problem is for someone like me is I would if I could. But, you know, a normal person could if they would. But see, I have to have a power by which I can live. I have to have these problems removed. And when I'm stop relying on myself, which I can't stop myself from relying on myself until I get into enough pain to where my selfishness and fear becomes objectionable to me, it is then and only then that I'm willing and open to the idea that there is a power greater than me that can solve the problem. And today, my hair is not on fire. I'm not, you know, frantically, you know, being dramatic about this, but when these fears come, it's starting to become more automatic. Somehow, I just know that, you know what? All right, this hurts. I'm not supposed to hurt. There's God help. What do? There's directions, and over the course of time following the directions outlined in the Big Book gives me access to power. And then it starts really being displayed in my own life where I'm walking through really hard things unafraid, or if I am afraid, I'm doing it with courage. And then all of a sudden what I thought was going to be a horrible thing ends up being the best thing that could have happened because God's taking care of it. Anyway, that's all I have. It's my experience. Thanks for your patience, and I hope everyone has a wonderful weekend.
Thanks, Shanna. Next up is Lisa BT, followed by Melissa C.
Hi, good morning. Thanks, Russ, for taking the meeting. Thanks for all who do service to make this meeting happen every day. I really appreciate it. My name is Lisa BT. I'm in Ontario, Canada, and I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. What really, really just struck me so strongly today when we were sharing and as we've been sharing on this particular paragraph was when I first found food recovery, I was living in California. I remember walking into the room and I remember my first thought was like, I can't believe it. I found my people. I really had no idea that something like this was possible. That was way back in 2004. Problem for me was, I see now in retrospect, is that I was abstinent, right? I definitely could tell the difference. It was amazing to me, the things that were happening to me, weighing and measuring my food. I found myself weighing and measuring my money, which I never had before, and whenever I'm not abstinent, that goes out the window too for some reason. Similarly, my time. I was on time. I was sort of doing things in preparation instead of running around at the last minute. Like weighing and measuring had an impact clearly on my whole life, it seemed to me. And I felt the impact of the promises, but I didn't keep them. And one of the reasons that I didn't is that it kind of scared me that everything was going so well. And I think that, with hindsight, I wasn't working the steps at all. I was really following a food plan and calling my sponsor and going to meetings, all that kind of stuff. But I was not working the steps. And I feel now that I was kind of like a lottery winner. You know, and often they say with lottery winners, they're kind of back, you know, suddenly they get the millions and millions, but then they're back to kind of exactly where they were, because the capacity to absorb and accept a life that is based on these promises, which, as people have said, is not that everything suddenly all starts going perfectly, but the capacity to accept joy, accept peace, accept contentment, was not there. And it's the first time I started studying the Big Book more seriously was in 2013. So I went quite a few years. And then since then, it's been nothing but sort of learning more and more about the steps, working the steps, doing the steps. And when I found this meeting, I knew right away that this was essential to kind of just keep studying the steps, keep working the steps, keep sharing about them, do step 10s on a daily basis and so on. And thank you. So my capacity for joy and contentment and peace has expanded, and I'm able to accept the promises differently. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Next up is Melissa C., and then I think we'll be able to take like four more.
Hey, good morning, Ross. So much for your service this morning. I'm Melissa Samer, recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, I read about, you know, having a new attitude and outlook on life. And I have to say, like, you know, most of the time I feel like I'm Pollyanna. Like, I have this great attitude. I feel, like, enthusiastically optimistic most of the time, you know. And now it's like, okay, but right now I'm in a really hard season. And do I still have that new attitude and outlook on life? Not as much as I did then. I mean, that's the truth. And yet, okay, so now here's the other piece of this. the fear of people and of economic insecurity, here's where it's different today. You know, I would have never said that out loud to other people. Like I am, sometimes my attitude is a little wavering, you know, I would say, because I was so afraid. I wasn't afraid of people per se. I was afraid of their opinions of me. I was afraid of people not thinking I was so great. I was afraid of people not liking me. You know, I was afraid of seeing the crack in my facade. And, you know, I've had experiences before where I've walked through hard times. It's, you know, like news alert, it's called life, you know. But years ago, my attitude was one of self-pity. And I would put on, because I didn't want anyone to really know, you know, I would put on my fake, well, how you doing, Melissa? I would say, fine. And then I'd be pissed off that people weren't giving me a free pass because don't you know my world is falling apart. And that always led me to the food. Whereas today, because I'm really not afraid of you all, I love you all, but you're not my God. You know, I have a relationship with God, and God tells me, be honest, tell people where you're at, because I gave you people to help you in this world. And when I'm brutally honest with people where I'm at, then God can send, you know, friends and fellows and neighbors and loved ones to guide me along. And my attitude then gets put back on track. And so, you know, I'm going to share with you that I had a food thought last week and it scared the crap out of me. I haven't had one in, I would say, 8 years. I've been recovered 11 years and I haven't had any food thought. And I wasn't going to eat it, but a food popped in my brain. And I have to tell you, I had to tell other people because I cannot be afraid of other people. And then, you know, I asked God to remove it, not the person to remove it, but God. And my attitude got restored. The food desire, it was gone like a puff of smoke. You know, and today, like, I'm not full of self-pity. I am walking in a hard season. But instead of getting, you know, judgmental and pissed off at my siblings, who my mother has forgotten long before me, now I have the attitude like, yeah, this is hard. This is hard. Let's talk about this. And let's see what, you know, my mother may have forgotten me, but I haven't forgotten her. And I know that the way that I outgrow fear is God gives me an assignment. Thanks. I'll just close up with this. God gives me an assignment. When I do it and I humbly rely on him, he allows me to, you know, to live amongst my, you know, above my fear. And my attitude is restored and food is silent. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Melissa. Appreciate it. So let's take three more shares. If you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and allow others to share. And I just need your name, first initial, last name, and where you're calling from.
Ilana Kay.
Ilana
from
Kay.
Detroit.
Yep.
Marjo from Massachusetts.
Nick, yeah.
Marjo. Marjo. Who's that there? Nick, yeah. Nick, yeah.
Nick.
Yep, we're going to go with that. So we got Alana K, Marjo, and Nick F. All right, Alana, you're up.
Hi. Thank you, Team Friday. Ilana K, happily recovered, compulsive overeater and food addict in Detroit. I just want to share that the promises are here. The promises are here, my friends. Today is a holiday for Jewish people. It's the holiday of Purim where we give each other treats and chocolates and food. And it used to be a very bad day for me with my disease. And today I can enjoy it for the spiritual day that it is. And I can pray and I can focus on other people and help other people. And it's not about me. And it just frees me up. This program frees me up. The promises are true. I'm just free to think about how does God want me to serve him today and show up and be present for everyone around me and help them. And it's not about me and how I look and what are people thinking of me and what am I eating next and why did I eat that. All of that crazy talk is gone and I feel sane again. So God bless the program and all of you. Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, thanks, Alana. Next up is Marjo, followed by Nick F.
Good morning, all. My Joe from Massachusetts. Thankful for all of you and this meeting. I just wanted to make a comment on this. I was always afraid of people. I just couldn't even admit it. I was too busy eating and running around and spending money. But I really wanted to say that it isn't just that my outlook on life has changed. It continues to change. That's what I love about this program. As long as I'm involved, as long as I'm taking calls and making calls, as long as I'm doing more than just my 12-step work, in the sense that, you know, I'm taking a look at step 10, I'm making sure I'm doing my 11, and when I'm not, you know, I call myself up short on it. I tell somebody, I'm not being as attentive to my spiritual program. It just doesn't mean, oh, all you have to do is open the doors for people or run an errand or take somebody to the hospital for them for an appointment. It means the full boat, which is took me a while to catch on to that. But I am eternally grateful. And my high holiday is on Monday. That would be St. Patrick's Day. So I'm getting out the green, and I'm looking forward to hearing everybody else today. Thank you.
Thanks, Marge. Next up is Nick F., and I think that'll close us out, Nick. Star one, Nick.
Good morning, family. This is Nick F. in Tennessee. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. I don't know about, I jumped on in the middle of the meeting. I heard what we were reading. But this part said we would suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Like, that's my whole recovery. I couldn't make it from the grocery store to my house and feed myself one single meal. And here it is, you know, I can prepare meals for a week. Like, I really believe I can fix meals for everybody on this line for a week, and we'll be all right. You know, I couldn't make it in the store from one aisle to the next without killing myself with food. The store used to be behind my auntie's house, wasn't even five blocks away. I couldn't make it from her house to the grocery store. I would just, you know, the money shit is all right, but I'm trying to tell you, like, my life has been spared, and there's no price that can be put on. The store was right behind her house. I DoorDash every single meal for 2 years. Here I am. I'm just traveling to Louisiana, where my first sponsor is, like, she's 83 years old. This lady has poured so much wisdom in it. I am so honored and privileged. Like, I'm going to be the luncheon convention speaker. I couldn't even feed myself one meal, and God has took my car from Memphis to Louisiana, to Baton Rouge. Like, God is good. Like, that financial insecurity, like, I have a high earning potential. It talk about it. We have a high earning potential. Again, but God will not do for me if, you know, what I will not do for, God will do for me what I cannot do for myself, but my conception of my high power is to this day, God will never do for me what I can do. And the rest of this deal for me is just finding out, God, what's my part? And I just thank you for the honesty that I have heard on the line. Another thing, I've been going through some hard times. Like, shit I wouldn't even say on this line. Just every hard, real times. But I got the consciousness. I got sobriety. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. I can deal with this stuff when I do what God leads me and calls me to do from this deep space that's only opened up because I'm not killing myself today. And I prayed. I said, God, let me wake up. Let me get on the line. And if you let me get on the line, you know, I'm going to listen. I'm going to be still. And even if you give me the opportunity, I'm going to share. But God did for me what I couldn't do. I heard my boy Russ M. was leading the meeting, and it's like, man, that's power, because this somebody I got to meet at the birthday. I got to put a face with a name. And it's just power in this book, and it's power on this line. I say it every time. This is like I see you just resuscitating a little dead country girl, where I'm having all kind of experiences today.
Time.
And I just give God the glory for that. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Nick. Appreciate you. All right. Thank you for sharing. Thanks for everyone who shared. And please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study after the closing. Today's share ID, Friday, March 14th, 2025, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, meaning it's 22,252. So it's 22252. All right, so we're going to let Katie G is going to read 164 for us, and then we're going to pray the Serenity Prayer.
Hey, Russ. Katie G, recovered compulsive eater in Boston. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the record of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep